This is Inside Jag Nation, the official podcast of the South Alabama Jaguars. Each week, hear from Jaguar student athletes, coaches, staff, and alumni as they uncover and relive great stories. With this week's guest, here's former All-Sunbelt Conference offensive lineman Chris May and Jaguar radio broadcaster JT Crabtree.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast for the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm JT Crabtree. Joining me, former All-Conference offensive lineman Chris May. Chris, good to see you, man.
Good to see you too, Mr. Intramural All-Star.
There it is. Very pleased to be joined by the new commissioner of the Sunbelt Conference, Keith Gill. Mr. Commissioner, thanks for coming over.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Let's kind of talk about the transition from where you were to how you are now. What's the first couple of months been like on the job?
You know, it's been great. I mean, I will say that I don't know that I've stopped sweating since I moved to New Orleans. So I've got some work to do, and I've eaten too much gumbo. But other than that, though, it really has been tremendous. I'm right now four schools into a 12-school tour. I'm going to hit all the schools before the start of the football season, and that has been great. Really have learned a lot, got a chance to see a lot of facilities, talk to a lot of the people in the Sun Belt just to get a sense of where they want to go and where the direction of the league. And I'm really excited. Those visits have been really encouraging.
There are a lot of really, really great campuses around the Sun Belt Conference. Yeah,
incredible campuses. And then also, people are really investing in their facilities. You know, I mean, people are really trying to get after it. I mean, obviously, you guys know that with the – you know, actually, you've had an indoor facility that's not too old, but now you've got the brand new stadium that's coming online, and kind of that commitment to being great in football and athletics generally is something I've seen across the Sun Belt and all the visits I've had so far.
Let's rewind a little bit and just give our audience just a little bit of a backstory of how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah, you know, so I was I've got two great parents. And I grew up kind of just watching sports, pretty much with my dad and my brother. And so sports has always been a part of my life. So, you know, I played four sports in high school. I went to Duke and played football there. And from Duke, that's when I got my start. I had an incredible experience there, and I wanted to, you know, have a career where I could create those opportunities for others. And so that got me started in college athletics. I was at the NCAA for about 5 years. I went to Vanderbilt. Went back to the NCAA, then I went to Oklahoma for a few years. Then I was the athletic director at American University and also at Richmond, University of Richmond. And then I was at the A-10 in the conference office for a few years before I ended up taking this position at the Sun Belt.
That's cool. Was it kind of an overall aspiration maybe in college, like you wanted to be an athletic director? Let's start there. Did you want to get to that point? How did you kind of progress that way?
Yeah, you know, I would say there was a little bit of dumb luck involved in the sense that, you know, when I was graduating, because I wasn't, you know, it's not like it is today when you, like, have to have four internships before you even get to college and then everyone's thinking about it. I was just thinking about graduating and playing football, you know, and that was really my focus. But as I was getting towards the end of my academic tenure and I was about to graduate, I just stopped by my academic advisor to talk to him about you know, what I was going to do afterwards. And when he asked me a series of questions, I was like, okay, well, you know, I'd like to do what you do, you know, and I would like to try to impact kids' lives. And he gave me an application for the NCAA internship, and that's really how I got started, was that internship application.
That's cool. What attracted you the most about coming down here to New Orleans and being a part of the Sun Belt Conference?
You know, the Sun Belt, my initial attraction really was football. You know, I mean, I love football. I'm a football junkie. And so being a part of an FBS football conference to me was really exciting. And then as I learned more and more about how just prolific the Sun Belt is in football, you know, I was just like, wow, this is a great fit. And then all the other sports. I mean, the Sun Belt really wants to be good in everything. And I don't know that, you know, I feel like part of my charge and my challenge will be to try to get that message out about the quality programs and the quality schools that we have here in the Sun Belt out to the rest of the nation. Because I feel like, you know, if my understanding before I did some research and involvement is any indication, then I think people, this is kind of a jewel in the rough, and people don't really know what a tremendous place this is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that you just answered what my next question was going to be here, but still just excited to hear this. Commissioner, what is the future of the Sun Belt? What does that look like?
You know, I think the future looks like continuing on our same trajectory. You know, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we would love to have one of our schools, be the highest ranked Group of Five champion, and get to a New Year's Six Bowl. You know, and so in order to do that, I think we've got to have multiple teams preseason ranked. We've got to have multiple teams in the final rankings. And so we've got to kind of create a plan to kind of get that done. I think we want to make sure that our basketball teams, both men's and women's, that we have multiple postseason opportunities in that regard. And also we have the best seeds that we can. So I think what we want to do is really compete for championships, expand our postseason opportunities from a competitive sense. I think from a student-athlete development sense, trying to make sure that we keep expanding health and safety programs for our students, trying to create some personal development opportunities, whether it's study abroad opportunities and those kind of things for student-athletes, I think is something that is really important and something that's something that our presidents and chancellors are interested in. And then continuing to make sure that our student-athletes graduate at a high rate. You know, I think I'm really proud of the fact that in the Sun Belt, we're going to have 197 student-athletes this year wearing the graduate patch. You know, we're going to distribute – last year we distributed about 870 graduation stoles to some student-athletes that are graduating. And so that academic record is really important because at the end of the day we're educators, and, you know, our most important responsibilities is to the health and safety and also the education of our students.
That's something that we've talked about multiple times. Myself as a former student-athlete, I feel like a lot of student-athletes get caught up with thinking, I'm going to make it to the league. I got to make it to the league. I'm getting that, you know, multi-million dollar deal. Yep. Less than 1% of people make it to that point. And I think a lot of kids, guys and girls included, get caught up in thinking that their sport is everything and that everything that they do, their identity is fully founded in that sport. And if you get caught up in that, you're going to quickly realize that that's fleeting. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are at that sport. It's going to end. And I think that that's really encouraging to hear that our conference is looking at pushing that forward, because I think that that's something that has to be on the forefront of everybody's mind when it comes to student-athletes.
I think that's right. You know, even when I was at Oklahoma, which is the elite of the elite athletes and football players and plenty of pro prospects, most of them aren't going pro. They all think they are. And so I would tell them, hey, this is your backup plan. And it's also the plan for you to maximize your pro time, because the things that you learn in college are going to help you in life. And so it helps you to make sure you don't end up on ESPN Broke 3, you know, is some of the things that you're learning in school. And so I think that is exactly right, which is, hey, you can do both. You can be an elite student athlete. You can chase your pro dream, but you can also get the education so that if that doesn't happen, you've got something to fall back on. And if it does happen, you've got the tools that you need to be successful within that, because we all know that even making it to the pros doesn't mean you're going to be successful, you know, and most people don't make it. And even when you do make it, most people don't stick. And so that's the beauty of higher education, I think, which is people have a two-track process to try to, you know, figure out what's next for them after graduation.
That's great. That's awesome. We were just mentioning student-athlete stuff there. You said you were a student-athlete. What were your playing days like?
You know what? They were great. They were tremendous. I mean, I was no great player, or, you know, I was pretty much a role player, like one of those players that every team needs, you know. So, I mean, I led her all 4 years. I played all the special teams, you know, got into the game every once in a while in certain situations. But for the most part, you know, I was, you know, guy number 60, just, you know, battling it out every day for opportunities to play. But I would tell you it was a tremendous experience. I mean, I just think football teaches so many great life lessons that I use today in terms of toughness and perseverance. I think if people went to a football practice, particularly the film session, particularly looking at the game planning and particularly going to practice, they would realize how hard they work, how smart you have to be to kind of do the reads and do them quickly and kind of understand it. And so I think all of those things have led to this for me in terms of, you know, just persevering, toughness, trying to keep after it and kind of, you know, kind of moving forward.
I think that everybody knows this. Anybody that has had any success listening to this or being around it knows that there's no way that you get to the place that you are right now, or anybody of finding any success at all, without having people that have helped you along the way, that have gotten you in those positions. Who would you say has been the most influential person in your life?
You know, the most influential has got to be my mom. You know, I mean, I you know, I am a mama's boy. You know, I'm the youngest of three.
Me too.
I'm, you know,
I'm not the youngest of three, but I'm a mama's boy for sure.
and you know, my mom is my hero. You know, I mean, she grew up in Jim Crow, South Carolina, and certainly didn't have the opportunities that I've had. And, you know, she spent her whole life really dedicated to making sure my brother, my sister, and I went to college and had opportunities that she could only dream of. And so I think for that dedication and for her kind of selflessness in terms of how she raised us, I mean, I think her example is unbelievable. She's the most honest, kind of straightforward, hardworking lady that I know. And so she just had set a terrific example for us in our house. And so, she really is my hero, and I would say she's probably had the biggest influence on me than anyone.
That's very cool. All right, so our last question for you, kind of our all-encompassing question we always ask folks is, what is your definition of success?
You know, my definition of success is, you know, when I think about it from a Sunbelt standpoint, I really do think, you know, we want to get on a path to get multiple teams in the postseason across all of our sports. You know, that's really what we think about it from a competitive success standpoint. I think we want to give student-athletes opportunities to grow and expand in ways that they never thought they could. You know, my first trip abroad was with our football team. We played Clemson in Japan. And it was such an eye-opening experience. And so if we can create those types of experiences for our student-athletes, that's really important as well. And then we want to graduate our students. You know, if we can do kind of those three things, I think we'll look back and feel like we had a really successful tenure.
So where do former student-athletes sign up for that join abroad and go to Japan thing?
I know. I'm telling you. It was unbelievable.
I bet.
You know, I mean, I thought we practiced too much, though. That was the one thing. I didn't get to enjoy it as much as we could, but – It's an incredible experience, and it's hard to kind of fit going abroad into your – if you are a student-athlete.
Sure.
And so trying to create those programs for students, I think, is helpful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. The commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference, Keith Gill, joining us. Appreciate you coming over and talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. So
thanks
so much.
That has been Inside Jag Nation. You can catch a new episode every week on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, and on iTunes. For Commissioner Keith Gill and Chris May, I'm JT Crabtree. We'll talk to you next time.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Weekly episodes can be found for free on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio by simply searching South Alabama Jaguars. You can also go to usajaguars.com and select the multimedia tab. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!